So today's daf is daf Memvav, and we're still holding in the bottom of Memhei, and it's time for a little bit of a review, because we're trying to figure out what Rabbi Yochanan really does hold about the dinim of the Psak, Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. There seems to have been some type of confusion in what his Psak is, as we'll see. It's getting even more confused. But this started with what appeared to be a very innocent question, in which we had a raya that Rabbi Yochanan had paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yitzchak had come along and said that Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosef said, now I understand. Rabbi Yochanan always quotes that they say halachas like Rabbi Shimon. Now I understand that. He means they say. I don't agree. Okay, so Abaye said to him, I mean, isn't that obvious? Because of the story of the menorah that fell on the clothing and the jacket of Rav Asi on Shabbos, and the whole story, he wouldn't move the menorah. And it must be because he was following Rabbi Yochanan's psak. So you should have known that yourself. What did you need Rabbi Yosef for? Everybody knows the famous story of Rav Asi's jacket that ruined his career. So we ended up being mechadish yesterday a very important new type of mukta, which is a mukta in which people are koveya makom. At least this was the reasoning that was given. Rabbi Yosef said, look, you know, when it comes to menorah, menorah is unique. Because a menorah, well, we weren't quite sure why it was unique. But so far what we said yesterday by Rabbi Yosef himself and Rabbah was that the reason it's unique is because it's not meant to be moved around. It's the equivalent of a table lamp. Adam koveya lo makom. In fact, we had a machlokas for Shlokish, for Yochanan, whether if you need two hands to move it, only then is it considered to be muktzer, or even if you have one hand, it would still be considered to be muktzer. By the way, we'll see later on in the Masechta that this thing turns into a new concept called Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. Now, Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis, it's something that's very valuable to you. Don't want it lightly used. So keep it away from the kids. And there the Shaila is, I mean, suppose it's something that you're not Kovei Amokum for. You know, you put it in a little box, and you lock the box, but I mean, it's not as if it's always in your safe. Is the Kviyut Makom really the nature of the Yisr, or are we just saying Kviyut Makom is a siman that this is something that a person wouldn't want lightly moved? Okay, now, it certainly appears from the way that the Gemara uses the issues interchangeably, and it's interesting, there's a tshuva of Reb Meisha that speaks this out beferush, that even though the Gemara refers to it here as Kovea Makom, there's no such thing as a mukta machmat Kviyut Makom. Kviyut makom is actually a siman ledavar, but it really all boils down to the concept of muktzma machmat, you don't want it used, which we call muktzma machmat chisaron kis. I don't want it ruined. This is something I keep for special purposes, and I don't wouldn't like to use it for anything else. Okay, but in any event, that's where we were up to yesterday. Now, in the course of getting to that place, we had an interesting psak by Rabbi Yochanan, which was very confusing. We let it go by yesterday because it was at the end of the day. But let's take a look at it again, where we got to the menorah. Because Rabbi Yosef, he wanted to say, well, I wouldn't have known anything about Rabbi Yochanan's psak if I had only known about the menorah that fell on his Talmud's jacket. Because I know Rabbi Yochanan paskins that menorah is special. Where did Rabbi Yochanan paskin the menorah is special? On the first large line at the bottom of Memhei, on the base, where he says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein anu, ein lanu ela b'ner k'Rabbi Shimon, avu menorah ben nitla b'yado achat, ben nitla b'shtei yadav, asur l'taltela. Now we sort of ignored the first part of the statement, which is, Ein lanu ela b'ner k'Rabbi Shimon. But it's rather strange, because the whole idea that we had just been bringing was to show that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. So how do we square what Rabbi Yochanan is saying now, that the halacha is k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner? So one simple way of understanding this is that he was only referring to the din of muktzah machmas mikus. So as he was saying,
Look, I do agree with Rabbi Shimon in one issue and only one issue, and that's the Muktzeh Machmatz Miyus issue. When it comes to an old candle that hadn't been lit on Shabbat, but because it's disgusting, I agree that nonetheless you shouldn't say it's Muktzeh just because it's disgusting. I agree with Rabbi Shimon. In anything else, when it comes to Muktzeh Machmatz Isur, which Rabbi Shimon said is not an issue, with that I disagree with him. When it comes even to a menorah, which you'd think is the same as a ner, no. Menorah is not the same as a ner. Over there, it's definitely prohibited. Now, when Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi paskined, so, I mean, it comes out now, when we said before that we have two psakim, Om Rabbi Yochai Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi paskins Halacha Rabbi Shimon. I mean, the truth is Rabbi Yochanan over there also has elements in which he paskins like Rabbi Shimon, right? In other words, we have a Rabbi Shimon psak of Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to the Muktzeh Machmatz Miyus, and we have a Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Muktzeh Machmatz Isur. And the Shaila is over here, what the din of menorah is. I mean, he's not necessarily telling us who he holds like. He's just saying, there is this new concept. It turns out in the end of the Masechta that Rabbi Shimon himself also agrees with this. And this seems to be the way that Rashi is learning, the simple way of learning this sugya. Tosfos wants to suggest that Rabbi Yochanan does not necessarily hold Bichlal like Rabbi Shimon. We're going to see later on. He's, all that this statement meant was, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein lanu, look, you can't find a more Mekel Shita than Rabbi Shimon. That's the most Mekel Shita you can find when it comes to discussing what to do with your neighbors. Nonetheless, don't make the mistake of thinking that even according to him, you could move a table lamp. You can move, yes, something which is not meant to stay in one place. You can move your little desk lamp, maybe, on Shabbos. But you can't move a table lamp, because a table lamp isn't meant to be moved. That's all he's saying. He's not necessarily saying that he himself would not have all the Muktzeh Machmatz Miyus. This is a very useful possibility in the Gemara, because it helps to avoid a lot of problems about the relationship of Muktzeh Machmatz Miyus. Mius versus Muktzeh Machmatz Isur later, because here we would be saying, well, Muktzeh Machmatz Mius is Mutar, but Muktzeh Machmatz Isur would be Asur, according to Rabbi Yochanan. There's indications that that doesn't work later on. So, just bear in mind that it's not necessarily so that Rabbi Yochanan would agree with Rabbi Shimon at all, even when it comes to Muktzeh Machmatz Mius. So what we left with yesterday was that apparently there's such a thing as Kovela Makot. That was Rabbi Yosef's explanation of why Rabbi Yochanan says that there's a major difference between a simple ner, or a pamot, and a table lamp, which he's calling here a menorah. The problem is, only Abayel Rabbi Yosef, Hare Kilat Chatanim, the Adam Kovelo Makom. We know that the Kilat Chatanim bed, which was not really used as a bed, it was sort of a decorative bed, canopy-like bed, which was used for keeping nice things on, really. When we call it a bed, what it actually is, it has a piece of wood going across the top, and then you drape over it what would normally be a canopy. Now, a canopy on a bed is usually draped over two pieces of wood on top to allow you room to sleep. But here, it was basically a display unit, and so it wasn't meant to have a roof atop. It was just meant to be nice. So you had a drape that was coming down from the top that was on a pole, which meant that you did not have a tefach on top. Since you didn't have a tefach on top, there was no reason not to open it up on Shabbat, because there's no oil. If it's less than a tefach, there's no oil. And then it spreads out to whatever the width is of the display table at the bottom. And you open it up, and it looks like this pretty little window thing. You have things on it. And it was called a Kilat Chatanim. Now, The question over here, there's two issues over here. One is the Ohel problem. So since it's not a tough, you don't have an Ohel problem. But the other problem is that it's for valuables, and it's something in which Adam is Koveh Al HaMakom usually. You wouldn't drag this thing around, put it from place to place. And if that's the case, then even if you tell me there's no problem of putting it up because of the Ohel, there ought to be a problem of this new Muktzma Machmat Koveh HaMakom, which ends up becoming Muktzma Machmat Chisaron Kis. Why then would it be mutter to open it up on Shabbat? And then Abai asked Rabbi Yosef, if you're correct that the Kviyut Makom is the issue, so Hare Kilat Chatanim, Dadam Koveh Lo Makom, V'yomar Shmo Mishum Rebichia, Kilat Chatanim Mutar L'Ntota U'Mutar L'Farka B'Shabbat. You can put it up, and you can take it down on Shabbat. So it means you can put up the drape. You can put up on Shabbat, and you take it down because it's up. But what about the Einoy? The other issue. Forget about Minyan, Vestira. How about Muksa? Therefore, says Abaye, I don't believe that Kviyut Makom is necessarily a simen to it katsoi midate, as you're claiming. I think that if you want to say that Rabbi Yosef is correct here in saying, but it's something unique about a menorah, it doesn't prove anything, a menorah fell on his jacket, it's not because a menorah is kavua makom. It was talking about a menorah, which is what Rabbi Yochanan is referring to, a menorah of chuliot. And a menorah of chuliot is meant to be screwed together. One piece fits into the next piece. And you make a menorah out of it. By the way, it's pretty common on the large pamotim, where you have that upper piece that you could even, some of them have a choice of screwing in a one-piece pamot or a four-piece, or, you know, you can change depending on how many candles you want. You screw the piece in. The problem is that because in screwing the piece, you would be osikli on Shabbos, therefore he did not allow you to use this menorah shalchuliot, because in case something would come off, we're afraid that you put it back together. Nothing to do with the simple dinim of muktzah, and that's actually the reason that Rabbi Yochanan said you can't carry a menorah even if it's a small menorah. But as the Gemara, if that's the case, Yochi my time is Rishim and Lakish Tashari. Why then would Reish Lakish? I mean, if you tell me that the issue over here is Kviyut Makom, then I understand why Reish Lakish would have said, well, if you can carry it around with one hand, it's not Kviyut Makom. But if the issue is over here that maybe a piece will fall out and you're going to make, what's the difference? How many hands you need to carry it? I mean, it's absolutely irrelevant. So how can a buyer get away with saying that it's talking about a menorah shel chuliot? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because when I say it has chuliot, don't take me too literally. I mean, it sort of has chuliot. What does that mean? My chuliot ke'in chuliot, de'it be'chidki. Actually, this is a menorah that looks like it has chuliot, because it's designed. What do they do like that? Where you've got, there's sometimes pockets that aren't really pockets and drawers that aren't really drawers. They've got like a pull on them, but they don't open, you know, in the kitchen. So it's the same type of thing. It's really just a very simple thing that has put on airs. And the airs consist of these little holes around the area where it would be put together. But it isn't really put together. It's a good old-fashioned pamot in which the lady of the house makes it look like she's got all types of additional features. But it doesn't have any features. It's just one piece. So if it's a small menorah which can be carried around by one hand, nobody believes it. Then they understand it's basically just a toy. I mean, it's not
stylistic.
Yeah, because nobody would ever make something like that. That should be a small ones aren't made with chuliot. Only a large one is made with chuliot.
Is this screwed? Is this something that's set?
Screwed.
Because that way you'd have pulled the
two. We're going to talk later on about the screwed issue or the pulling issue. that we'll get to. There's a whole question of portable beds.
In it.
We're going to get to that. That's a major my focus with it, because Binyan, Bastira, Bekalim, and Makbid on something which is normally open and closed is actually a fundamental tosis on this dot, which is very negated sugya much later, which is the distinction between pieces that don't come apart completely and that are locked into place when you pull them out, like those little cribs and so on, the portable cribs, and pieces that come out totally and pieces that are screwed. So there's all types of differences, which, since it's not our sugya, it's not going to get into here. But over here we're talking about a gzeira atu gdola dechuliot. The question over here is, look, we're afraid people won't distinguish between the type that looks like, it's got tzitki, it looks like chuliot. So they'll, even though it's small, Rabbi Yochanan says, well, it's small, but people get used to the idea there's nothing wrong with using these screw-in menorahs, and there is.
What's tzitki, literally?
Tzitki just cracks, grooves, thank you. Grooves, exactly. A new Texas would come in handy when we need it. So, atu gdola dechuliot, but keep ligi b'ktana ditvechitki. The question over here is a little one. Marzav gazrita Rabbi Yochanan says, look, man, people won't make a distinction anymore. Marzav, look at the Rish Lakish, says, I said, well, who's going to think that a small thing that's never made of chuliot, that's made to look like it has grooves in it, is really chuliot? No, it's not going to occur to anybody. Therefore, why be goes here? Now, the question is that we're now coming out with Rabbi Yochanan saying that Alok is Rabbi Yehuda. And that's how, when the only quote that Amru Rabbi Shimon was that he didn't agree with it. The thing is, though, we've got a little bit of a problem. Our problem is the good old stagecoach wheels.
No problem, they're actually good with their
opinion? No, because that's the thing. In other words, where goes there, menorah shel chitki versus menorah shel chulios. It's not stages. But what about stage coaches? Now there, remember, we had our problem in that Stam Mishnah and Kalim indicated that if you've got the mechanism, the wheels that attach this, the coach attaches to, by the way, GM is going back to this, Dugma, you know that. Next generation of cars has got a complete separation between the stage and the chassis. Because they're now designing the engine, the electrical engines, everything will be electrical. The engine is now one piece together with the wheels, and they're all the same. Every car is basically the same. You choose the chassis that you want. And then you just plug on the chassis onto that engine. It's the whole thing, the wheel, the engine, the drive, Collins shaft. You just plug it in. You can just switch. You could keep one car.
Modular
cars. So that's the issue of here in Kalim. I mean, if they had learned Kalim before, it wouldn't have taken them a whole century to get to this point. So if you've got that bottom piece, you got the chassis. So now the mashma'ut was that if somebody had put some money down on it, it's usher only so long as the money is on it, because it says if it wasn't on it, then it's okay to move it, to push the wheels. The problem is that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we asked, why wouldn't it matter, even if there's nothing on it right now, but why wouldn't it matter that something was on it at the beginning of Shabbat? Since, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once it was usher at the beginning, the ner was daluk, you can't ever touch it again on Shabbat, so year two, you can't touch it again on the chassis. The Mishnah didn't make that distinction. That's what forced us 2 days ago to conclude that it was going Aliba to Rabbi Shimon. But in Achinami, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, we would have had to say that the case would be always usher if you had left money on that chassis before Shabbat, even if it's not there now. Now, you'd say that has nothing to do with this, but it has everything to do with it. Because it's Rabbi Yochanan who always has the rule that the halach is kistam Mishnah. And that Stam Mishnah takes for granted that as long as the money isn't currently on it, it's okay to move. But that means that the Stam Mishnah is proclaiming that halakha k'Rabbi Shimon. And here is Rabbi Yochanan saying halakha k'Rabbi Yehuda, at least the way that you're now understanding the Omru halakha k'Rabbi Shimon. So how do we explain, asks the Gemara, me, Omru Rabbi Yochanan, could Rabbi Yochanan have said that indeed the halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda, when we know perfectly well that Am Rabbi Yochanan Lachak is Stam Mishnah, that we always go according to Stam Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah in Kalim that we just spoke about was that the Mulchanishala, the machine itself, is Manchi Nishmetet, Ein Chiburla, the Ein Nimdedet Ima, the Ein Matzelet Ima Ba'olamet, the Ein Gorino Tabishabat Bismanchi Eshala Amaot. You can't move the wheels if it's got something on it, even though obviously that's not its normal use. It's meant to be the chassis over here to the coach. But nonetheless, you can't move it. But what does that imply? That no matter what the case would be, if there's no money currently on it, then there's no problem in pushing it. But what about the fact, the Mishnah doesn't make any distinction between what the status was at the time that Shabbat was Chal, which according to Rabbi Yehuda would have made it Muktzah for all of Shabbat, and instead it says, well, you just need to look at whether the money's on it right now. So how do we explain that Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan and still allow him to pass him like Rabbi Yehuda? Omer Rabbi Zera, look, you know, I mean, the truth is, you're making a little bit of a leap here. Why? Because for us to say that halacha is Stam Mishnah, why do we say this? We say this because if Rebbe, when he was Masada the Mishnah, saw a particular shita that he felt we should be kovei halacha kamotan, so he wrote a Mishnah to define that shita. The issue in this Mishnah is not muktzah, correct? The issue in this Mishnah in Kalim, it has just relevance to the concepts of muktzah. You're assuming that every last issue in a Mishnah, if it isn't brought out as a machloket, then it's got to be that it's a Stam Mishnah. Now, maybe a Stam Mishnah only is a Stam Mishnah on the topic that it's discussing. In other words, it could very well be that Rebbe, when he wrote this Mishnah, wasn't interested in getting into the details, whether the money was there before Shabbat, whether it was there only right now, and then I'll have to tell you that really the it's a machloket, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon, if he didn't mean it as a Stam Mishnah. Because since he's not coming to discuss the issue here, maybe he allows you to take the Mishnah in different ways. In other words, if you hold a Rebbe Yehuda, you'll have to say, okay, well, obviously he meant that the money wasn't there during Bein HaShemashot. Just say, why didn't he say so? Why should he say so? Why should he mention it when it's only something that he's mentioning in passing Bichlal, the question of money on it, which has nothing to do with Kalim? Therefore, says Rebbe Zera, look, Tehei Mishnatenu, if this bothers you, then why don't you just say that the Mishnah indeed is talking about Shelo Hayu Alei Ma'ot Kol Bein HaShemashot, Shelo Lishbar Devarav Shel Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, you're saying, how do I know this? I know it because of Rabbi Yochanan. Obviously, that's how Rabbi Yochanan understood the idea of the Stam Mishnah. That it doesn't mean that it has to cover all of your bases. As long as you can understand that Mishnah, that it would work, afilo liba de Rabbi Yehuda, then it's not Rebbe's responsibility to necessarily pask in the dinam of books in Kalim. So can you learn that the Mishnah works like Rabbi Yehuda? Certainly. You'll just have to postulate that it's referring to a particular case, that the money wasn't on it at the beginning of Shabbat. And now the question is the money there now or is the money not there now? Then it would work out fine like Rabbi Yehuda. And of course like Rabbi Shimon as well. So therefore, that's how to understand the Mishnah in Kalim. Om Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, pa'am achat alach Rebbe l'Diuspora. Rebbe once went to the town of Diuspora, which is not in Barnea's neighborhood. V'hora. Is it in there? You're kidding. Oh my gosh. I stand corrected.
Well, it has to be somewhere there in Israel.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Do you know where Diuspora is or not?
No.
Then it's not in your neighborhood.
No. It's only neighborhood Mitanis.
Of course, that's what defines a neighborhood. I mean, otherwise, we all live in Eretz Yisrael.
Cyber space neighborhood.
What's that?
We're looking to see where it is.
Uncle Art says it's in Cyprus? No.
Thanks.
V'hora b'menora k'rebi Shimon b'ner. Now that's a rather strange thing. He said when it came to menorah, like Rabbi Shimon b'ner. Now the reason that this is so tantalizing is because it reminds us exactly of what Rabbi Yochanan said just on the bottom of the previous stop. That even though we only know like Rabbi Shimon b'ner, but menorah is different. So was Rabbi Shimon saying, was Rabbi saying rather, well, no, wait a minute, menorah is the same as Rabbi Shimon b'ner? Or was this two separate issues? Menorah is one thing, and then there was another issue that was raised about a ner, the Gabi and Ner Yashan, and then that he passed to my Rabbi Shimon, which is very similar to the question we had about what Rabbi Yochanan was actually passing. Now, I know that you would think that by very virtue of being in Yusufra, which means two different mandiomrim, he would certainly be passing in one way like menorah, and in another way like Rabbi Shimon. However, the Gemara does not consider that to be conclusive. So, the question was, Iboyelo, Hora b'menorah k'Rabbi Shimon, b'ner lehetera, did he give his psak like in the menorah like Rabbi Shimon said about a ner, meaning that the menorah was mutter, and there was only one hora over here. Oh, Dilma, maybe there were two different things over here. Hora b'menorah leisura. Because of whatever issue. Either he holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to menorah, or because he agrees with this distinction of Rabbi Yochanan about Muksu b'makbas chisaron kis, whatever. And he also paskin on a ner yashan shel cheres. He paskin like Rabbi Shimon lehetera when it came to just a ner. Do you know which one? Take. I don't. Now, Rabbi Malkia once came to Rabbi Shmaloi's house, and he went ahead, and when the lamp went out on Shabbos, the Tilto Shraga, he moved it because he held of Rabbi Shimon. The Ikbid Rabbi Shmaloi was not happy with him because he had paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Galila came once to the home of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina on Shabbos, and he too moved the lamp that had gone out, Tito Shraga, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina was not happy. Now Rabbi Avu, on the other hand, he was very diplomatic. Ki ikla la'atred Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. When he came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's home, and we know before on Amud Beis, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had just passed him like Rabbi Shimon. So he said, great, here's a place where we can move the lamps on Shabbos. So he did. But when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's place, so apparently Rabbi Yochanan not paskin like Rabbi Shimon, lo abim etalter shraga, over there he wouldn't move the lamp. Now it's all very nice to be diplomatic, but I mean, after all, we're talking about halacha. I mean, for heaven's sakes, what is he all manashah? Ik Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, I mean, be a man of Shita, for heaven's sake. If you're all the Rabbi Yehuda, so then you should do like Rabbi Yehuda, even though your host may hold that it's mutter to move the lamp. And if you hold of Rabbi Shimon, why don't you just follow Rabbi Shimon? Basically, Gemara starts. Yoylam, Rabbi Shimon Svirle. Obviously, he himself wouldn't have listened to somebody who passed him Lakula to do Lakula. He could have just avoided it. So actually, he personally clearly must have passed him like Rabbi Shimon, which is why when he had the opportunity, he felt no compunction on moving that lamp on Shabbos. But Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Yochanan de Lo Abi. When he was in Rabbi Yochanan's area and Rabbi Yochanan was passing Lachumra, so then he wouldn't do it. And this, of course, ties to the way Tosfos was understanding Rabbi Yochanan before, that Anu Ein Lanu Ela B'ner K'Rabbi Shimon, Anu Ein Lanu, there's no better Shita Lakula than Rabbi Shimon, not that I agree with it. And that his psak with Rabbi Yehuda could be across the board. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda introduces something else here. And he says, look, but the nefta asla totula. There's got to be limits to what puts people off. I mean, it's one thing to talk about a old lamp that had been used with olive oil over there, Rabbi Shimon is Mati. But if you've got a kerosene lamp, what are you going to put in a smelly kerosene lamp? Everybody would agree that that stinks. I mean, there's got to be some limits. So that certainly would be considered to be mukta, mat mi'us. Now, this is an interesting thing to claim, because that, according to Rabbi Shimon, there really is a concept called mukta, mat mi'us, except when it's a neri yashar shashem and it's not ma'us enough. It's like, I mean, now we're talking about how disgusting is it. I don't know. But that's the pashas of the circuit. Tosfos says, now wait a minute. Who say he's talking about on the Rabbi Shimon here? Why can't he be talking about a metal menorah? Be going like Rabbi Yehuda, that if it, a metal menorah, I mean, it's okay if it isn't, if it wasn't lit this Shabbat. And he's saying, yeah, but that doesn't mean any metal menorah. I mean, if it stinks of kerosene, then that too would be considered to be Muktzah Machmat Mi'us, which is actually something of a chidush, because it's not disgusting, it just smells bad. So you may not want to use it for food, but there's no reason why you wouldn't use it, let's say, to hold down your paper so it doesn't blow away. I mean, it's not Mu'us to touch it. So that's a question. Rav Yehuda here was asserting that there would be a din of muktzah and machmat mi'us on kerosene, even on metal, Tanya's Tosfos. Rabba and Rav Yehuda disagreed, and they said, look, the neftanami shari tiltul, there's nothing wrong with the kerosene, it just smells bad. But that doesn't mean that it's not usable for things in which the smell is not a problem. When you're talking about the neri yashan, it's unpleasant to touch, it's dirty, it's oily, it's sooty, and therefore it's something that you don't want to use.
You don't want to use it
for anything. I mean, once it's burned out, you have no, you know, or even if you hadn't lit it, it's just, what are you going to do with it on Shabbos? Now, speaking about Mo's, you see, suppose somebody comes into your house and doesn't clean his shoes when he walks in, and it was just in the mud. Now that's Muktzah Machmas Mos, you would say. And poor Rav Avya made the mistake of coming into Rava's house. Ki havi me'isin, notice the coincidental language. So his shoes were ma'us. Bekare betine. He had just walked through the mud. And he goes and he sits down on Rava's couch. Now, Rava was not happy. Not happy at all. So, Eisvei Apuria came to Rava. He sits down.
This is Rava, wasn't it?
What's that?
This is Rava, wasn't
it? No. Man also needs to know when to be marked. Rava did not think that that is the way in which Talmud Chacham is supposed to act, come into somebody's house like a slob, sit down on the couch, and I go, what kind of business is this? He made up his mind. He is going to embarrass Rava. He wanted to really give him tzar. Of course, how do you give tzar to a Talmud Chacham? You ask him a question and he can't answer. And naturally, the best thing to talk about was disgusting objects. Maybe he'd get the hint, right? So he says to Rav Avya, hey, Rav Avya, my time a rabbi Rav Yosi Dharma Tavar Shraga Danaf Danami Charlotte Tule. Why would people think that something disgusting like kerosene or maybe mud would be okay to move around on Shabbos? Omalei, why not? I mean, you may not want to use it as a candy dish, but you could still use it as the top for your garbage pail. So what's wrong with that? So says Rabbi Tim, that's an answer. I mean, you could say the same thing. Go outside. Your wife loses the top of her perfume jar. So go outside, pick up a stone. Why not? It's chazi lechasod bomana. And use the little stone to cover her perfume bottle. I suppose, according to you, there's no such thing as muktzah. Anything in the world, after all, could be used to cover a bottle of some kind. Very interesting logic you've got there, Mr. Rabbi. Abia. So it's Hovakaja Kazugo Mana. Said Rababia, what's the comparison to stones? I mean, Har Ika Torat Klialeh, Hani Leka Torat Klialeh. There is a concept called a Kli. Although there may be Isurim on Kalim that are not meant to be used, and this is an extremely important new piece of information, and for the first time we are defining an idea called Muktzeh Machmat Gufo, or Atzmo, where the thing itself is Muktzeh because it simply has no defined use at all. The first thing we need to distinguish between, says Rav Avia to us, and therefore becomes a fundamental definer of Muktzeh instead of having been embarrassed by Rava, which is a much better ending, says Rav Avia, actually, we need to distinguish between, before we even get to the dinim of the purpose of a kli, and whether you intend to use the kli, or mekatzit makom, and so on, we need to first distinguish between kalim and non-kalim. Non-kli doesn't enter into the set of shimush at all, and therefore there's nothing to discuss about it. It isn't included in any heter on Shabbat. The whole idea of the original gezerah of muktzeh stands. Don't touch things that aren't meant to be moved on Shabbat. That's out of the running. Now, you've got kalim. Okay. Kalim has a lot of subsets. Then you can start discussing whether a kli that has a usability, which is not its primary usability, such as a metal lamp that has a smell of neft in it, is considered to be muktzeh if you want to use it as a covering for your garbage pail. But you certainly can't say, and therefore anything in the world, kli or non-kli, can be used as a covering of a garbage pail. That does not follow. And I'll prove to you that it doesn't follow, that there's a new concept called kli. Milo Tanya. Does it not say that hashirim, bracelets, and nizamim, earrings, vatabaot, and rings, harehin kechol hakelim anitalim bechatzer, they are like anything else that can be moved in a chatzer. Now this, according to Tosfos, is going according to the Mandiyomar who holds that no jewelry may be worn on Shabbat because it is too common to take off your jewelry to show it to your friends. And since in taking off the jewelry in Reshut HaRabim, as you're casually strolling down Main Street, you will be walking Arba Amot Reshut HaRabim, we assured wearing jewelry. It's a good thing this didn't go through.
Did the rabbi accept this?
Rabbi Ben.
We're going to get to this sugya in a special parak that is dedicated to Bama Isha Yotzat. What can a woman wear on Shabbat? Which is later. But in any event, according to this Mandi Omar, it was even prohibited to wear jewelry in your own chatzer because of the chashash that you'll end up carrying it even in Reshut HaRabim. Okay. So now the question is, that sort of knocks jewelry out of the running for usable kalim. And what are you going to do with your jewel? If you can't wear it, so then you shouldn't be able to move it at all.
That must have depressed the market. Poor jewelers, up in arms, and really made a lot of noise.
The Omar Ula, Matam, why then is it permissible to move it not for the tzorach of the jewelry, but for tzorach gufan or tzorach mikoman? Why is that okay?
Did you wear
the hat? Since, what do you think it is? A rock? Did you ever hear anybody call a diamond a rock? So since Lamaisa, it has a Torah Kli, because it's designed for use of people, so Lamaisa, that means that you don't view it as a non-Kli, that's Muktzeh Machmat Gufo. Now the Shaila is, what are you going to move it for? Why do you need to move it? Okay, so I can move it even Letzorah Mekomo. I can move it even Letzorah Gufo. If I have some use, here it does the same thing. Hachinami, here too. You're telling me, but it smells, nobody would use it. It's still a kli, isn't it? So if I want to use it for tzorach gufo, I want to now actually cover my garbage bill with it. Why should I not be allowed to? So hovika torat kli aleha. Omer of Nachma Yitzchak, brich rachmona delokat sifei rov l'ravavya. Thank the good Lord for his mercy, who did not allow Rava to embarrass Ravavya. And we ended up getting out of this little interchange over here. Very important insight into Hilchos Muktzah. Romile Abaye la Rav. Tanya motar Hashemen shebener v'shebekara asur v'Rabbi Shimon matir. Here it says that we had our Mishnah that talked about the oil that was in the kara and so on and so forth. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, there's no problem once it goes out. So in other words, that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, let le muktzah. But how do you explain the fact that according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's yontif, and you have an animal which is a bechor, and therefore unsuitable for use on yontif, and a mum, it gets a mum now on yontif, that he says, nonetheless, ikor she'ein mumar nikar, mumo nikar merav yom tov, ein zemen amuchan. Now, did we not say that people who don't hold a muktzah, don't hold a nolan, don't require muchan, what's the difference if it's a bechor or if it's a, I don't get it. So you're telling me it wasn't prepared for use on yontov before yontov, but it's usable now. Same thing like the nair that goes out, it's usable now. Ah, says the Gemara, no comparison. Hachi hashta. Hatam adam yoshevu mitzapeh ematai techabe neiro. Remember, we already saw that even Rabbi Shimon is moda, that if this was a lantern and not a nair, even though it had gone out, you couldn't use it. Now, how did you understand that? It's because it's not that he doesn't hold of muktzah. He just feels that anything that could conceivably be held in mind to be used doesn't become muktzah. That's all. So usually a candle goes out on Shabbos, and therefore, the moment it goes out, it's considered to be minam muchan. Now here you've got a perfectly normal animal. What is the guy thinking? Gee, you never know. Maybe tomorrow it'll get a mum. And then I'll be able to find the Talmud Chochem to be martyred on Yantav, even though it's usher to be row a mum in on Yantav. But you never know. And then, you know, maybe you'll even find that it's the kind of mum that you're allowed to shecht on. Is that what the guy is thinking, really, now? So, over here, huh?
Can be eaten by an unkind?
Sure. Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any bechor can be eaten by an unkind if the coin offers it to you. Except, you know, there's a mandi amra who has a chumrah, but not because it has a din of disreproach. So, awesome, what are you saying? The guy is going to be thinking, Adam Yosheva Mitzapeh, Matayi Po Bomum, is that what he's thinking? Meimor Amar, he says to himself, ah, come on, me aimer the knife for Bemuma. Ooh, I mean, why should I imagine that it's going to get a mum? The im timtzalomer nafu bei mum, and even if it has some kind of accident on Shabbos on Yontif, mi emet nafu bei mum kavua. I mean, who's going to say that it's a real mum that it's mutter to shecht on? The im timtzalomer nafu bei mum kavua. I mean, even if it is, turns out to be a serious injury, mi emet mizdakek li chacham. Who says that a chacham is going to be mizdakek to be matzer? Therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would have looked at the case of a bechor on Yontif the way he would have looked on a lantern on Shabbos. Exactly the same idea. There's no Adam Yoshevu Mitzapeh. Mosiv Rami Barfama. How about this case? Mefirim Nidorim B'Shabbat. V'Nishalim. Sorry, Nidorim. Sheim L'Tzorach HaShabbat. You're allowed to be made for a neder, you could be shorl a neder, which is L'Tzorach HaShabbat. Now, I mean, the typical case would be somebody ossered food on himself, say, right? So now it's Shabbos, and he's not happy. So he wants to get somebody be matir his neder, or a woman ossers food, because she's bulimic. You know, no more food forever, never.
Because she can't wear jewelry.
So it says over here, it's okay. You can go ahead and be martyred on Shabbos if it's a Tzorach Shabbos. But wait a minute. What good will it do for her to have her husband be martyred the netter if Lamaisa, the food, is going to remain Mukta? Because you said that if you have to wonder about, well, I can't really be sure that anybody would be martyred for me, like by the Mum. So why wouldn't she also be thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe I won't be able to be to eat this food even if I would get a heter from my husband. So maybe he won't, maybe he'll be mad, maybe he doesn't want me to eat.
What about the fact that she helped during all of the Shemashah service, Esther? Does that make it Esther?
Yeah, yes, exactly. But we're going like Rabbi Shimon. You're claiming that even according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be Esther. So, I mean, nobody should be mad to this. Because, I mean, since you can't say she was Yosheva to Mitzapah, she's for sure going to be eating. There's even a good chance she'll be eating. Maybe he'll try to teach me a lesson once and for all, you know? Okay. You like these Nadorim? Fine. I like them too. So maybe it should be the same thing. Now, the Shaila, of course, a number of issues over here. I mean, we had created a case that seemed like there were an awful lot of miyamas. I mean, number one, who says it'll have an accident? Number two, if it has an accident, who says it's going to be a serious accident? Number three, if it's a serious accident, who says the fuck? I mean, over here, you're just coming to the very end. You know, maybe one miyamar is still considered the Yosheb of Mitzapah. So Tosis points out that the additive miyamars are obviously not serious. Because there's other cases in which, I mean, if it already had a mum, you know. So the miyamar could be even one miyamar. This is clear from the following Gemara. That's not the point. But the issue over here is, I understand, if I can't eat food, doesn't mean somebody else can eat food. What do you say? The food's going to be mukta because I can't eat? Someone else can eat it. And what's the whole problem, Baklal? I mean, it's not muksa. So if I have truma, I can't eat it, but a kohen can eat it. So
it's not partial muksa. Muksa to me and muksa to someone else.
Yeah, lechora. So Tosis is bothered by this, and he suggests that the din of muksa in terms of the moving, you're absolutely correct, because since it's right for somebody else, so therefore we can move it, because that person has use of it. But there's also a mukta from achila. And the achila, since it's mine, and it was mukta to me from eating, I shouldn't be allowed to eat it. Because an eno mina mukhan is not edible. So maybe that was the Gemara's question. Maybe you could have moved it the whole time, but who's to say she's allowed to eat it? Or, if you don't like that chidush, or the answer may be that the isser that she made was an isser hana on everyone. In other words, let's say she had, as often happens, she had a cholent and she let the cholent burn. Yeah. And she's mad. So she says, that cholent is usser to the world to eat. To head this. Not hard to conceive of, is it? So over there, now it's also for everybody. So therefore, it should be muksa. And yet, we're including Al-Khara, even a case like that. So therefore, it must be that there's no such problem as you're claiming of miyamar. Miyamars are not a good enough reason to keep away from something. And you claim miyamar de mater ri chochem, the mizdakik le chochem. Over here, her husband's going to be matered for her. That's not a problem. That's Hazab Gerib Pinchas B'Shvei de Rava. That's the famous mimer of Rav Pinchas, who quotes Rava, saying that Kol HaNoderet Al-Dat Ba'ala HiNoderet. Basically, the whole thing that her neder works as is that she's Somecha Dat Al-Ba'ala all along. It's not a question that the neder exists. Now the shaila is, what's he going to do about it? The whole point of the din of a hafarat neder of a baal is that, in essence, the neder doesn't exist. She's really relying on him to take care of things, you know. He knows I got a big mouth. He knows I shoot off every once in a while. He'll take care of it, you know. He'll make the phone call and apologize. He'll take care of it at the bank, or whatever. So Mamela, it's not really that it was Muksa. She is so Mechet Allah. That's the point. Buyers by the Chokah to be Mati the Bechor. Why would I be Semich on him? Toshma, Nish'alim l'nidarim shal tzorach ha-shabbat. Albeit it's not a woman and a husband. Here it's for Stam, a person. Apparently including a case where somebody ossered food, and now we can go and get somebody to be Mater him because he needs it for Onik Shabbat. So we'll do it on Shabbat too. Why? Lema mi yemed him izakek le'chacham? Fine, it's not a problem. If you can't get a chacham, remember, you can always get three guys together. Everybody figures I can go into shul, I'll get three guys to be Mater. I mean, give them a real sob story about what's a Shabbos like without a cholin. And they'll sit down and they'll be Mater in that. But a mum, I'm going to need a chokham to be matir, which isn't really true because b'makom shein mumcha matir nes habechor aydei shlosha adyotos, which is a little bit of a problem, which Tosfos is bothered by. This is okay, but then you would need that it has to be a mum that is so obvious that, that's a rarity. It might have to be the leg is literally cut off. The eye was blinded completely. Okay. So over there you don't have a problem because it's Sagile B'Shalosh Hed Yotot. And that's okay. But Hoch, in our case, Miyem Adim is Dakek Lechachab. Rami Le Abaya Le Rav Yosef. Abaya is another problem, Rav Yosef. Seems to indicate a contradiction to Rabbi Shimon. Mi Amar Rabbi Shimon, Kafta Mutar Le Tal Tala. Rabbi Shimon says only when the Ner goes out, then you can move it. Now, and here we finally, after all of these pages of discussion, Rabbi Shimon, finally get to the understanding of what is bothering Rabbi Shimon about the time that the Ner is lit. Because if the issue is it's going to go out, that's a problem. That leads us into other things. What are you going to say the reason is? I mean, I assume that it's because it's burning. So therefore, my timer, since it's burning, as all of you suggested yourselves, you can't move it because maybe you'll put it out, you may jiggle it, you may move too fast, you'll end up now being covered in there on Shabbos. So therefore, Dilma Bahadi to knock it like Kafta. Aha! Why in the world would Rabbi Shimon, of all people, be worried about that? Remember Rabbi Shimon's famous Shita, most famous Shita of all. So according to him, l'shitato, he shouldn't even worry about it at a time that it's burning. Who cares if it's burning? What am I doing wrong? What are you saying? It's mutzvah machmat mitzvato adarabba. The mitzvah is to give me light on Shabbat. Now I need light in the bedroom. Let me move it from the kitchen to the bedroom. Why in the world does he say it's usher to move an air while it's lit? If you don't hold there's a problem of Muksa, then you shouldn't hold there's a problem, if you hold of Rabbi Shimon, you shouldn't hold there's a problem of Dilma Kafta. That is a pretty powerful question, wow, we ignored the whole issue all along. Why was he answering it, Bisman, that it's burning? And even the logic we said before, Mitoch, that it was Muksa, the Mitzvatos, it was Muksa, the Isuro, couldn't have meant literally, mukhtar machmati sur, because what would I be doing in moving it? Titanya, after all, Rabbi Shimon was dover shenimit kavin mutar. Titanya, Rabbi Shimon omer gorer adam kisei mita v'safsal ubevat shaloyit kavin lasot charetz. His famous case of dragging a bed across the floor with Richie in it would be mutter in the case where it doesn't necessarily have to make a furrow in the ground. You have been working on that weight problem. So it wouldn't necessarily make a furrow anymore. Says the Gemara, what we'll have to say is that kol heicha dechimechav iniki isura dioraita. Perhaps the issue is this. In a case where if you would be mechaving to do something, there Rabbi Shimon is, I'm sorry, where Kilomachav and God's Rabbi Shimon and Rabbah, their Rabbi Shimon would still hold its answer. Min Rabbanan. It's only Kalecha the Chimachavin Ika Isura the Rabbanan. It's only in a case where, even if you have Kavona, There's only an Isser D'Rabbanan. There, Rabbi Shimon, if you're not Mechavin, would say it's even Mutter L'Chatchila. And therefore, in dragging the bed, yes, in dragging the bed, it's Mutter. Why? Is making a furrow not an Isser D'Oraita? There's different approaches as to what the problem, why we're saying over here, there's no Isser D'Oraita. Rashi says because it's Eino Kedarko. Since you're doing it Kila Akriya, the normal way of making a furrow is to take a shovel and make a furrow. Now, Shane Dane, over here, dragging a bed to make a furrow. And you go, when was the last time you saw a farmer dragging his bed across the field? I mean, we have Kalin for this purpose. And therefore, you won't be Chayav. Others learn that the problem over here is that actually Rashi doesn't make all that much sense because we're talking about dragging something on your floor in the house. We're not talking about the furrow in a field. We're talking about the possibility of binyan or stirah here. So they say the problem over here is that normally it's mikalkel, and therefore it's potter midoraita because you're ruining the floor. Why would anybody want to ruin their floor? So even if you want to call that as part of binyan or stirah, in this case, it would certainly not be an Isser D'Oraita. Mashen came over here by the ner. If you, in fact, intend to put out that ner when you're metaltalit, it would be an Isser D'Oraita. And therefore, he answers it min rabbanan while it's burning. The problem being, gentlemen, Rabbi Shimon also holds that a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is not an Isser D'Oraita. Oh my God. So even if you put it out, it wouldn't be an Isser D'Oraita. So why can't you move it now when it's an Eino Mitzchavin? This is a disaster. All the Rishonim are bothered by this question. Because the only time you'd be chayav if you put out a candle, as we know from the Mishnah, is where you intend to make the charcoal or the wick. But according to Rabbi Shimon, any other circumstance, which is, I mean, well, because that's the circumstance, the guy's moving, he decides, okay, now it's time to go to bed. Okay, so, big deal. So he did an Isser D'Rabbanan, so he turned off the light. What's the big deal? He's not going to be chayav anyway, so therefore, well, I'm going to make a gzera that he shouldn't be metaltalit, because maybe he'll blow it out. Even if he blows it out, he wouldn't be doing an Isser D'Oraita.
Yeah, but there's another issue, because he wants to get a burden for the mitzvah, doesn't that count?
No. So this is a serious problem. So Tosis says, well, you know, maybe since there is a case in which it's possible to conceive that it's a D'Oraita, so I know this sounds a little bit, you know, far-fetched, but look, after all, in the end, we're going to end up finding a different solution to this whole problem. Anyway, we can ask a question. So the Gemara really could have pointed out that it's really far-fetched. But there's a fascinating Pnei Yehoshua who comes up with the idea that when Rabbi Shimon says that a malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa is potter, he means potter aval aser midoraita, which is an amazing chiddush. I mean, who ever heard of such a thing, that there is an iser of asiyat malacha even though it's eina tzricha l'gufa, and it's only that in terms of the chiyuv of karet, the chiyuv of mitar, the chiyuv of shogegon, the carbon, there we say malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa, because it has to be similar to the Mishnah. But the idea that it's usur to do a pu'ulat ha-malacha, even where the totza'ah of the malacha is not the totza'ah that was in the Mishkan, that is not that it's mutter midoraita, it's just that it's put. None of the Rishonim came up with that idea. The Pnei Yeshua is an acharon. No, everybody agrees Asur Rabbanan. The question, he was saying that it must be Asur D'Oraita, because otherwise why would we Asur to do a Dover She'enu Mitkavein, because maybe it'll come to do a Dover She'enu that is anyway only a Malach She'enu Tzricha L'Gufa, which itself is Mutar Midoraita. Okay. So we have something of a fascinating issue over here. In any event, so maybe that's the idea. So Rabbi Shimon holds, you can't move the ner, because maybe you'll end up putting it out. And even though in putting it out, it's a malachim zvichel agufa, but there's cases where it might be d'oraita. So mamela, as long as the fire is burning, you can't move that in there. Mativ Rava, there's no such thing. Rabbi Shimon is matir lechatchila, even where you could come to an issur d'oraita if you had kavana. And I'll prove it to you. The famous case of the Kelayim soup sellers. The guy is walking down the street, and he's a suit seller. And one way of selling suits is to put on 15 suits, and you show which one do you like. You open up the particular jackets, you show off your wares. Now, if you're a machmir, what you could do is you take a pole and hang the suits behind you. So, mochrek suit mochrin kedarkan, however. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're still allowed to wear those suits, even though they're kilayim. You just have to not be thinking that you're using these things in order to warm yourself or to protect yourself from the rain. And that way it's not considered to be levishat kilayim. And if it's not levisha, it's okay. Vatsnuin, people that are very makpid, they're mapshilim b'makela achorein, they put it on a pole. But here we see the Rabbi Shimon says that even though ha'acha dechimechavein isur d'oraita, had you had in kavana, it would have been an isur d'oraita. Nonetheless, kilo mechavein. But since you don't have kavana dinene from the kilayim to be lovish the kilayim, shari Rabbi Shimon even lechatchila. So your answer is not a good answer. There's no such thing as an isur. Leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Even if it would come to you, the Uraita. Certainly not this crazy case. Even if you put it out, it's so unlikely it would be. And that Tosafot says, basically, I mean, we're relying on this question as well. Because in the end, we show that he's wrong, which is why we didn't pursue the other problem. That's why I'm throwing it in the words that he says. Ela Amarava, a totally different approach to the meaning of the Mishnah. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. The reason that Rabbi Shimon Ritchie, this is a very important moment, finally coming after all these pages, so the reason that Rabbi Shimon says you can't move that candle while it is burning. The reason that you can't move the candle when it's burning has nothing to do with maybe putting out the candle. The reason is because the shalhevet itself, the actual burning flame that's on the ner is certainly a davar ha'asur. You can't use that, you can't put it out, you can't make it, and therefore it itself is pure isur. It's not something that has a use. The problem over here is that the ner, the shemen, and even the ptilah are all the base of the flame. And that means they become a basis of davar asur. First time we've heard those words. We now have a new concept, even though we've assumed it sort of all along with the case of the stagecoach, jazz, and so on. But we have now a basis of davar asur, and since that thing, I mean, well, look, you said you agree that something which is useless and is not a thing which is a kli and it's a brock, you got to shall have it. A shalhevet is not a kli. Rabbi Shimon is moda that that can't be moved. But over here you put a shalhevet. What a silly place to put a shalhevet. You put it right there on the wick, for heaven's sake. So you put a shalhevet. Why do we have to go all the way to the wick? I mean, who cares about the wick? Says Tosis, because no, you can't say that the ner is the basis. We don't care about the oil and so on. Because then it would be a basis both for the oil and for the shalhevet. And a basis of davar asur vel mutar is okay. We've got to make it a basis. Everything is a basis of davar asur, in which case there's no mutar here at all. And since you put down that fire in the wrong place, right on the wick, which was right on your oil, which was right in your lamp, boy, next time you should be careful. Therefore, you can't move this basis of davar asur as long as that shalhevet is burning on it. And that's the reasoning for needing to wait till the fire goes out.
Yeah.
TBC.
Not for the vision, not for the heat, not for the sun.
Everything is
but
so...
But artificial lamp is a thing. Is it an artificial lamp a thing?
What?
Like this lamp. Is that called
an artificial lamp should be a clique. There should be no insert.
Yet the model of what it's modeled after is not a clique.
Well, the question is whether a bulb is a dover that is is an instrument, or it's basically always just a shalheva. And that's what it is. It's just a shalheva in potential, or, you know, I mean, you could argue that.
What do you mean by the Easter? You can use it for light and things like that. So why is the shalheva?
Yeah, but it's not it itself. The things that you would use it for are dvarim that are also to do on Shabbos. Therefore, the thing it's first of all, what is it? It's not a clue. So what it is is basically something which on Shabbos is involved in Chilul Shabbos by Betzah. So what are you going to do with it? So, I mean, you can let it do its thing, and you can be nene from it, but that's fine. I mean, you know, except for other gezeiros, but to move the Isser itself, that for sure he wouldn't agree. Okay, gentlemen, that was lovely. Okay, here we are. Rapid Chazara, starting from Meme Yomid Beis. Omale Abaye L'Rav Yosef, Arei Kilat Chatanim. Adam Kovei Lo Makom, V'Amashmo Mishur Mechia. Kilat Chatanim Mutal, in total Mutal Afarka B'Shabbat. Elo Omale Abaye, I hold the issue of the menorah is a different one. B'Shol Chuliot. Hi, okay, my time in Rav Shivim Alokish, the Shari. No. Chuliot Ke'in Chuliot. Di'it Be'chitke. Hilkot. If it's literally chuliot, it wouldn't matter. Ben Gedola, Ben Ketana was also a tautal according to anybody. Gedola, Nami, the eat bechitki, everybody did it, zera, of the Gedola, the chuliot. Ki pligi bik sanadi bechitki. Marsava, namely Rabbi Yochanan and Gazvinan, and Rish Lakish, Marsava, no Gazvinan. Now, me on Rabbi Yochanan and Loki, look like Rabbi Yuda. Yoma, Rabbi Yochanan and Loki, Kistan Mishnah. Vitznan mucha nishala bizman shi nishmetet ein chiburla vein nimderet ima vein matzalet ima ba'olamet vein gorin ota b'shabbat bizman shi geish alaya ma'ot meaning ha'in alaya ma'ot sharia avagam da'agala ben ashmashat Amra bizir, okay, cool down, man. Tei mishnatenu shalom ayu alaya ma'ot ko ben ashmashat shalom lishbo divrav dvarav shalom yochanan Amra b'yoshua ben levi pa'am achat alak rebe l'diusbara V'horab b'minorah k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner. Iboyelo, how do I read that? Horab b'minorah k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner l'atera. Odioma. Horab b'minorah, period, meaning l'isura. And furthermore, k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner l'atera. Teku. Remalki ikela ilkla l'vei Rabbi Smaloi matato shraga. Rabbi Smaloi was mad. Rabbi Yosi Galila ikela to Rios Rivachanina tato shraga. Mm-mm. Ikbed Rios Rivachanina. Rabbi Abu was more diplomatic. Rav Avi Arichla Levei Rava Avi Meisin Bekare Betina Ativi Apuria Kamina Rava Ikpid Rava Bolitz Ure Amalei My time a Rava V'yosef Tarvayu Shragin Apnami Sharlat Tatule Amalei Obechaz Lechusi Yivei Mona Aha Elo Miata Kol Tzorot Shebechatzer Betatule Obechaz Lechusi Yivei Mona Amalei Hoi Ketorat Kli Alea V'hani Leketorat Kli Aleyen Milo Tanya Ashirim Vanizamim Vatabaot Harehim Kehola Kilim and Italim Bechatzer Vioma Ula Matam Hovi Ketor Klialea Achanami Hovi Ketor Klialea Om Rav Nachman Ibar Yitzchak Brich Rachmana de Loxifa Ravel Ravavia Romila Yabayel Rabba Tanya Motar Hashem Shibaner Shibakara Asur Rabbi Shimon Matir Amal Rabbi Shimon Letle Mukta Aha, Brahmini, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol She'in Mumon Nikar Me'erev Yom Tov Ein Zeh Mina Mucha Ah, Hachi Hashta Atam Adam Yoshevu Mitzapeh Eibatai Techaber Neiro. But also, what are you going to say? Adam Yoshevu Mitzapeh Matai Yipol Bo Mum Meimar Omar. First of all, Mi Yemer Danaf Ove Mum. And even if Timtzulam Danaf Ove Mum, Mi Yemer Danaf Ove Mum Kavua. And even if Timtzulam Danaf Ove Mum Kavua, Mi Yemer Mizdakek Lechacha. Most of Rami Bar Chama, wait a minute. Chacham, I thought we take for granted. Is it made fear in the door in B'Shabbos? L'tzorach Shabbos? Vamai. Lema mi eimad mizdakek le'ba'ali. No, I took your pinkas from Reda Rava. Vam repinkas from Reda Rava. Kol ha'noderet al dat ba'alai noderet. Tashma, how about nisholim in the door, which is in general? Shal tzorach ha'Shabbos, not a woman. Vamai. Lema mi eimad mizdakek le'chacham, and therefore it should be mukts anyway. Hata mi lo mizdakek le'chacham. You still have b'shad yele b'shal shed yotot. To get three anybody's together. But how come he aimed him his back at Lechacha? Remember the Abayel of Yosef. Mi amar Rabbi Shimon, kaftan mutar la taltala, which means only kaftan, lo kaftala. Now why? I mean, obviously, my time at Dilma Vadim Nakat la kaftan. Problem is, of Shemino and Rabbi Shimon, Dilma Dabri Shemim et Kevin Mutar. And therefore, who cares if it would go out? The time of Rabbi Shimon, I'm going to go rare Adam ki say mitavis of sal, ubilvat shalit kevin la sot charitz. Ah, the answer is the Kolheik of the Chimechavin, he gives you the Oraita. There, Kiloka Mechavin, Rabbi Shimon has goes a bit Rabbona. It's only Kolheik of the Chimechavin is not even a Nisid Oraita. There'd only be a Nisid Rabbona. Only there, Kiloka Mechavin, Shar Rabbi Shimon, the Chatkila. Mati Brava, that doesn't work. How about Mochrik Sut, Mochrinka Darkan, Ubavach Loit Kavit, Bechamam, Ipnea Chamal, Bechamim, Nea Kishamim, Hatsnuim, Mafshil, Mabakela, Choreim. What are you going to say over here? Oh, how could the Chimichaveni would have an issue with the arise of Kilayim? And nonetheless, Kilomichaveni, Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutalachatchila. So your logic doesn't hold by it. Therefore, Lomarava, Hanach, Lener, Lashemen, Uptila, Hurl, the Naasu, Basis, the Davar Asur, the whole thing now is prohibited.
What was the penny?